Well, we're going to look at that psalm tonight, Psalm 23. Last week we looked at a really special psalm, Psalm 22, so the one before 23. Remember Psalm 22 if you were here? That's a really incredible psalm written by King David, 1000 BC, and it's so precisely accurate to what? To the crucifixion. It's like you're hearing Jesus speak through the psalm in regard to what he endured on the cross for us. So unlike the gospel writers that are writing about what they saw, Psalm 22 is speaking about what was happening from inside Jesus as he was suffering on the cross. But now we're going to look at Psalm 23. So this is a beloved psalm, isn't it? You all know Psalm 23, haven't you? You all know that? The Shepherd Psalm. And again, it was written a long time ago. Sometimes when we go to the aged care ministries, I say to the people, you know that we're singing a song that's 3,000 years old. No way, yeah. Because it would have been written about 1000 BC, and it's 2000, so in a bit. So that's a long time, isn't it? All right, what I'm going to do, I'll pray, and then we'll get into it. Our Father, thank you for how we can come tonight. Thank you for your great word that we're going to look at. I ask that you'd help us all as we consider this psalm, a very well-known psalm. Help us to understand what it's about and to be really appreciative of you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to start off by talking about last year, in March last year, Colin and I were in the Israel, land of Israel. So that was pretty amazing back then when you think of how you can't travel now, but back then you could. And when we went to Israel, we went after a really good winter in Israel. And so, and we're just coming into springtime. And so the land looked phenomenal. And I remember seeing the beautiful northern part of Israel and maybe a part of the central part that looked really great. But the part of the land that's sort of south, man, that's pretty arid, really arid. And it reminded me of our country. Boy, our country's got variation, hasn't it? You know, you can go to a tropical rainforest to pretty serious deserts in our country. So Israel's the same. When you go there, you feel like you're a little bit home. So the north is like semi-tropical, where they have a lot of cattle, fat cattle, the bulls of Bashan. If you know that phrase, that comes there up in the north. And then in the central part, there's these fantastic wheat crops and also vineyards. And I remember seeing the wheat crops when we were there sitting on your hip. That means they're going to have a bumper crop. That was actually in the Valley of Elah. What's that famous for? For the battle between David and Goliath, the Valley of Elah. But you know, when we got to Bethlehem, Bethlehem is high country, and I realised that that part of the land is quite, I guess it's semi-arid. All right, semi-arid. And because I knew that David lived in Bethlehem, and David was a shepherd boy when he was young, I was thinking, man, he was a shepherd in this area. Not like where there's plenty of food. It's in the semi-arid to arid area, not far from the Dead Sea. And it got me thinking about Psalm 23. I began to realise that, wow, when you think of Psalm 23, it changes the setting of it. Well, in what way? Well, we saw the Bedouin shepherds there, so I could see what goes on. These shepherds have 20 to 50, maybe 100 sheep, and every day they have to move their sheep on because the little bit of grass that exists here today is gone because the sheep eat it all up. There's not much. And they have to keep moving the sheep every day. Not only that, where on earth is the water? The shepherds know. The sheep don't. And if it weren't for the shepherd leading the sheep, those sheep would very quickly perish. Not only that, in that area, there's lots of dangerous creatures. Israel still has some predatory cats in that area. Back in the days of David, they had lions and leopards, bears and wolves. And the sheep were in danger of being taken by this. So as a shepherd boy, David had to protect his sheep. But you get the picture when you read Psalm 23, which is likened to a shepherd. You realise that, well, Psalm 23, the setting of Psalm 23 is that God, we need to let God look after us every day, and we need to be depending upon him every day. It's not like the picture we have in our country where we have big paddocks and we have feed that lasts for months and months and big dams where the sheep can come and drink whenever they want. It's not like that. The picture of Psalm 23 is you need to depend on the shepherd every day and we need to trust in him. So that's the setting of the psalm. And as we go through this tonight, I'm going to look at three things, all starting with the word see. He cares for us, he comforts us, and he crowns us with glorious blessings. That's our shepherd. So we've already had it read to us. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 23, and we're going to look at the first few verses. Well, the first line of Psalm 23 is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, straight away, you can tell that he cares for us. I shall not want. The Lord won't allow us to be in want. But even before you get to that, don't you get really, it's really amazing just to take it in. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. In the Hebrew, it's the word Yahweh. The Lord Almighty. He's our shepherd. Isn't that phenomenal? We're talking about the God who measures the heavens by the span of his hand. The God who holds the whole oceans in the palm of his hand. We're talking about the God who fills the universe. The God who is the judge of heaven and earth. Isn't it incredible to think that he's also our shepherd? And we can even personalize it as David did. The Lord is my shepherd. That is really special. That's not the case for all people, is it? It only applies to those who trust in God, who put their trust in him. And especially in the period of time that we live in, what we call the New Testament time, the New Covenant time, we need to put our trust in God's Son, Jesus. When you put your trust in God's Son, Jesus, then you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." I want to just say this. I've been to many funerals where this psalm is written and we read it out, read out. And I know that there are many people, you know, you go to a non-Christian funeral, And many people are saying this psalm, but they don't know the Lord as their shepherd. Because it only applies to those who have given themselves to Jesus. So if you've done that, the Lord is your shepherd, the great God. He's your shepherd. Wow! And then it goes on to say, "I shall not want." Well, that's a great statement, isn't it? We shall not want. What does that mean? It means that the Lord's going to meet our needs. Is that right? Yep. Who can testify of that? I hope you all can. The Lord is incredible how he can meet our needs. Not just financial needs, but all sorts of needs that we have. The Lord is able to do that because of who he is. I love Psalm 37, another psalm of David. And in verse 25, David says, "I have been young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread." Because God always meets their needs. Not our wants, not the dream car, but he meets our needs. I love the stories of missionaries. I so many times I've heard of missionaries telling us how they're about to, you know, no money, no food, and then somehow some food parcel arrives on their doorstep or they get the right amount of money to pay a bill or whatever it is. Talking to Juan and Vicky in Jordan, we were there when we were in Israel, we went to Jordan. They were telling us all these incredible stories to the praise of God in regards to how the Lord helped them in terms of just making it through. God knows our need. Isn't it amazing? And he can tap us on the shoulder and say, "You got to provide the need." That's how he works. So it's really good. You know what though? I reckon I have to say this. God goes over and above meeting our needs. And what I mean by that is I'm going to read to you another verse from Psalm 37. In verse 4 it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." That's going over and above needs, isn't it? Like God reads your heart and he's even willing at times to give you the desires of your heart. I mean good desires. And even our trip to Israel was like that. Colleen and I have often thought about going to Israel. Colleen is a Jewess, so she wanted to go to Israel sometime. And I thought, no, it'll probably never happen. But it happened. And I got to say to you, it's not because God's meeting a need. It was just meeting a beautiful desire. How good is God, eh? When we weren't even looking to go, it just all sort of fell in place and there we were. And God is willing to do that for us as well. What a great God. Okay, let's look at the next part of the verse. And this really helps us understand how God so cares for us, how he meets our needs. So verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, a sheep lying down in green pastures is a picture of a sheep that is well fed and satisfied. Isn't that right? That means the sheep being mentioned here is well fed and satisfied. And a sheep being led beside quiet waters is a picture of a sheep being able to satisfy its thirst without any danger or trouble. There is such a peace and a calm. But of course, this psalm is not speaking about woolly sheep. It's talking about us and about what God does for our life. How he meets our need by feeding us well and quenching our thirst. Now, Jesus had some things to say about this. Know any great verses from the New Testament that Jesus gave? Here's a few. John 6:35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Hear that? If we really know Jesus and put our faith in him, we are not going to be hungry and we're not going to be thirsty. We're not just talking about physical things, spiritually as well. He will meet our needs. There's another passage in John's Gospel, John chapter 7, 37 and 38, where Jesus says, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Our Jesus knows how to meet every need, to quench every thirst, to satisfy every hunger. It's to our shame when we look other places than to him. He's able to meet all our needs. We're the ones who do, unfortunately, sometimes look in other places to have those needs met, and we go astray. But he is able to meet every need. What a great God. Okay, and then it says in verse 3, the first part of verse 3, he restores my soul. I want to just pause on all that. Isn't that a great phrase? Isn't it great to be restored? Maybe you're sick and you get restored. Well, the word restored can mean other words too, like maybe it's to do with being refreshed. Restored. They're all great words. All these are words. And how we get, you know, this time of the year, so busy, so much happening, leading up to Christmas, how good it is to be refreshed and restored. Well, the Lord, he's the one who does that for us. That's part of meeting our needs, the part of care, the care he has for us. One of my favourite passages on this subject is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, that same chapter where we read of how God measures the heavens by the span of his hand and holds the oceans in the palm of his hand. At the very end of that, Isaiah 40, it says, even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I love how that comes out in the movie Chariots of Fire, if you've ever seen it. Wow, this is a great God who is able to restore us and give us lift. You ever seen an eagle? Not even flapping, just being lifted by the thermals. There's a picture of what our God does in lifting us up. We might be down in the dumps, but he's able to restore us and refresh us. And we ought to know a little bit about this because in our country, especially as we hit the hot weather today, pretty cool, don't know what's going on. It was hot the other day. But when it's hot, we all love the Fremantle Doctor blowing, and it refreshes us. Well, our God loves to refresh our soul. He restores, he refreshes our soul. Okay. By the way, in terms of refreshing and restoring our soul, I want to just put in a plug here for back to the first part of Psalm 23. Those green pastures, I think, are metaphoric for God's Word. We've got to feed our soul on God's Word. And those waters, I believe, connected to John 7, are about the work of the Spirit in our life. So we need to have time with God if we want him to restore us. It doesn't just happen unless you apply yourself. So we've got to read the Word, the good green pastures of the Lord's Word, and we've got to allow God's Spirit to move in us and refresh us. Okay, the next part of Psalm 23, in verse 3, it says, He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. This also is a part of His care. You know that we're like sheep. You know what sheep are like? They're stubborn. And they go astray. But our shepherd knows that. And He has an eye on us. And He wants to guide us in the good path. Isn't that part of His care? It's not like He just lets us wander and then goes, right, you guys, you're in trouble. No, He's trying to stop us wandering. And He's trying to guide us. So He does all sorts of things. Like, I don't know, this is how He works in my life. Convicts me when I'm thinking wrong. Or he brings obstacles in the way so I don't go the wrong way. I don't know, He does all these things. He's guiding us in the path of righteousness. Praise the Lord that He cares for me. Because I'd be falling a lot more than I do already. And I've got to read to you, I love Jeremiah. I love what it says in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, Thus says the Lord, Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient path where the good way is and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. There's some classic verses in Jeremiah. That's a beauty. God says He's the way and He wants us to go in the good way. The good way, walk in the good way, and you will find, what's the promise? Rest for your soul. Yep, and it also says at the end there, he does this for His name's sake, because the Lord knows that He has invested His name in us. So when we go astray, we bring Christ's name down, we bring God's name down, and for His name's sake, He wants to guide us in good paths. So, pretty good care of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. And He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. That's pretty good, isn't it? What a shepherd. Alright, the next part we're going to look at is how God comforts us. And that's found in Psalm 23 verse 4. So let's read that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Isn't that good? Our shepherd not only cares for us, but He comforts us. This verse speaks of difficult and dark times. For a woolly sheep, back in the days of David, living in the Judean desert there, it's very rocky. And there's steep passes, and the sheep is in danger of falling and hurting itself. And there are predators out there that can take the sheep. But the sheep didn't have to worry if the shepherd is with the sheep, because the shepherd is going to protect the sheep. The shepherd is with the sheep and is going to protect the sheep. And again, this psalm is not about woolly sheep, it's about us. Our God is going to be with us. And He's also going to protect us. And He has some much better equipment than a staff and a rod. He can really look after us well. But the first way He comforts us is by being with us. I love the testimony of many Christians I know who have been going through a really difficult time, and they have sensed the presence of God that has brought such a comfort to their soul. You can't explain it. It's just a wonderful reality. I love that. God's so real. And He knows what we're going through. And He will just come and you'll sense His presence and you feel so comforted. And there's other times we can just trust the Lord that He is the strong one. And He is able to comfort us when we remember how He can protect us from anything. He can protect us from the devil, from the ways of this world, even from our own sinful nature. Got to lean on Him. He's able to protect us, and that brings us comfort as well. Think of all the things that we go through in life. Sometimes we go through some pretty dark times due to difficult circumstances. Sometimes we feel despair, especially when a loved one has gone or we have been struck down with some terrible disease. Sometimes we feel distraught just because of ourselves and our sinfulness and the ways of the world is pulling us. All these things just feel like darkness and despair. But in the midst of it all, God is still with us. He comforts us. And He has got a strong arm to protect us. Boy, are we comforted. Hebrews 13, verse 5, a New Testament verse. It says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can people do to me? That's a great verse, isn't it? And you know, that's how it is. God doesn't just come and go. When we are His, remember at the beginning I said that, if we've given our life to Jesus, the Lord is our shepherd, God doesn't come and go, He's with us. That's a great comfort. In terms of the way He comforts us by protecting us, I reckon if you could see the big picture, you would realise how much God protects you. Like, you have no idea stuff that you could have been attacked with by the devil. He protects you so much more than you realise. And I love back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah's good. You've got to read Jeremiah, right? In Jeremiah, he's having a really tough time. He's got his own family persecuting him. People want to take him out, kill him. And I remember these words in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11. Jeremiah says, the Lord is with me like a dread champion. You like that? Like a dread champion. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. I love that. He's like the dread champion. Don't you touch my servant. The Lord knows, doesn't He? Yep. You know, when I think about this comfort, I want to actually show you something in Jesus' life. There was a time in Jesus' life, the only time you see Him like this, when He was very distressed and troubled. When do you think that was? The Garden of Gethsemane. Yeah, He was really, really, really distressed and troubled. His blood was like His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And it says there how He was so distressed. In Luke's Gospel, it says that God comforted Him. Do you know how God comforted Him? God the Father sent an angel to comfort Jesus. That's how hard it was for Jesus. Wow. And God knows us. He knows exactly what comfort we need. It might be He does something just in coming. We sense His presence. It might be that He brings someone into our life, a fellow believer, who's going to help us. God knows how to comfort His people. So much so that the Apostle Paul was able to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 and 4, you know this one? This is a great one. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Notice the word all. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. If you ask me, it's us who have a lack of faith in what God has promised. That's pretty awesome. And that's what Psalm 23 is speaking of, a God who comforts us. Well, we're nearly at the end. We've got two more verses to go, verses 5 and 6. And let me read them to you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Righty-o. I'm going to summarise those two verses by the word crown. God crowns us with wonderful blessings. So He cares for us, comforts us, and crowns us with wonderful blessings. And the reason why I think of the word crown is the language of your head. You anoint my head with oil. It's got that picture of God crowning us with blessings. You know, this part of the Psalm's got nothing to do with woolly sheep anymore. We're right off that now, because you don't anoint the head of a sheep. But this is a picture of God blessing us, His children. And notice how God does it. He crowns us with His blessings in the context of verse 5, even in the presence of our enemies. Do you know, you could be having the hardest time, and God blesses you in the middle of all the tyranny you're going through. What sort of blessings? Peace and joy and contentment. and praise the Lord. Oh, it reminds me of Paul and Silas. They got beaten up. They got chucked into the dungeon. They're singing songs of praise to God. Wow. Because they had been crowned with the Lord's blessings. It was well with their soul. How good, eh? So that's what God can do. Yes, there are persecutions and all sorts of things that can happen. But whatever our circumstances are, God crowns us with blessings. Do you know a good hymn on blessings? Hardly sing it these days. I had to write out the words because I couldn't remember it. When upon life's billows, you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. He's got lots of wonderful blessings. That's the picture here of your head being anointed with oil. It's a Hebrew term in terms of the Lord blessing your life. When I think of that, I've got to now read another Psalm of David. All right, this is one of the favourite Psalms of David. We often hear it in our worship service, Psalm 103. If Hazel Perkins was here, I'd see her lips going as I read it because she's memorised it. All right, and it goes like this. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Not one of His benefits, sorry. He pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, and who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. That's blessings if you ask me. What a blessing to be forgiven. What a blessing to have God crowning us with loving kindness and compassion, redeeming our life from the pit. And these blessings in verse 5 are so overflowing that it's like the picture of a cup that's running over. Do you see, you know, have you understood God's nature? It's not like He likes to give a few drops of blessing to you. Do you know, God has everything at His disposal and He is able to pour into our life such rich blessings so that our cup runs over. I love that. What a lovely picture. He wants to make your cup run over. Why does He do that for? Well, I hope you understand, it's not just so it's all for you. When your cup runs over, it means it's going to run over to where? To others. So God wants to make our cup run over that we might be a blessing to others. A really important principle in ministry for me and also for you as you serve the Lord. You can't serve the Lord very well unless your cup is running over. That means make sure your cup is full every day by turning to Him, then you're in a good place to be a blessing to others. If you're on empty, then look out. Well, because normally they're pretty grumpy and all sorts of things. You need to make sure your cup is full and overflowing. And it's so simple. It's just coming to the Lord in the morning, say, and reading God's word and praying to Him and opening your heart to Him, and He'll fill your cup each day. That's how it works. I've had to learn that when it comes to ministry, because yeah, there's ministry can be full on and there's all this ministering to other people, and I'm not going to be able to do it unless I ask the Lord to fill my cup. And now we come to the sixth verse, which I've already read. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In this verse, there's two great blessings. The Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercies, or compassions. These are the Lord's blessings to us, even though we are still sinners. If we would continue to trust in Him and put our faith in Him, then we have these blessings upon us. And I remember Colleen one time, my wife Colleen, a few years ago. You know, it's funny how it is. You're reading the Bible and she gets so excited, like really excited. Ian, I've got to tell you something I've just read. Oh, what is that? She says, Psalm 23 verse 6. Oh, okay, I know that psalm pretty well. What sort of struck you? The word all. What do you mean the word all? Listen to it. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And she got so excited about that. You know, the Lord's blessings on us are not just on a Sunday or just once a week. It's every day. God's goodness and mercy is upon us every day of our life here on earth. Yeah, it was a great thing to be excited about. And of course, the best blessing of all is what it says at the very end, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because of God's goodness to us, because of His incredible mercy to us, we stand forgiven. We are accepted to God, and one day we'll be in the Lord's house forever. I like the way Jesus put that in John chapter 14. We read there, "Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." It's like Jesus expands on what we read in Psalm 23 verse 6. Yes, David says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And Jesus explains it further. There is a Father's house, my Father's house, and there are rooms in that house, and I'm preparing a place for you. Well, what a great shepherd we have. The God who cares for us, comforts us, and crowns us with blessings. This psalm, in Psalm 23, does speak about God the Father. He is the great shepherd. But isn't it beautiful to know in our New Testament that Jesus also takes on board that title of shepherd? And how is he described? What kind of shepherd? The good shepherd. The good shepherd. And something extraordinary about our good shepherd, which isn't seen in Psalm 23, is the way that this shepherd, what's the extraordinary thing? The shepherd would give his life up for the sheep. Whoa! So let's read a little bit of John 10 and we'll finish. In John 10, Jesus speaks about these things. Starting at verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." You know, it's so easy for us to read that. Like, sometimes you just got to stop and think, "That isn't that just amazing? I am the good shepherd," Jesus says, "and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." What shepherd would ever do that? A shepherd will try and minimize losses. Even a good shepherd. But our good shepherd was willing to lay down his life for us. Our good shepherd was willing for the wolf or the lion to take him down so that the sheep could go free. And of course that's metaphoric language to tell us exactly what he did do. He allowed the jaws of death and the punishment of sin to take hold of him so that we could go free. Let me read it again. "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And what a shepherd Jesus is to us. Not only did he give his life for us, but from the throne, because he's the same as the Father in character and nature, he also cares for us too. From the throne, looking down on us. And he also comforts us. And he also crowns us with great blessings. The Father and the Son work together. Oh yeah, there is another passage I was going to read. One in Revelation 7. Got to finish on this one. In Revelation 7, we have the ultimate picture of God the Father and His Son. This is after it's all wrapped up. Jesus has come back. There's a new creation. And then it says there in Revelation 7, 13 to 15. "For this reason, they are before the throne of God." Oh, got a very important. What reason? The reason why they are before the throne of God in the previous verse, it tells you why. Because they are people who have come to Jesus and been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the reason. "For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne shall spread His tabernacle over them." Picture our great God. What language, what a picture. He will spread like His arms around us. That's the Father. like gathering us together. And then it goes on to say, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. Wow! Back to Psalm 23. Every need absolutely met. See that? Then it goes on to say, for the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God shall wipe every tear from their eyes. What I love about this passage is that it tells me that Jesus shall be our shepherd forever. He shall always be leading and guiding us in all eternity. He's your shepherd now, and he's your shepherd forever. Wow. What a shepherd. So, that comes to the end of the passage, Psalm 23. Isn't it lovely seeing Psalm 23? And then John 10 mentions Jesus being the good shepherd, and even the book of Revelation, which we're looking at on a Sunday morning, you've got these wonderful pictures, these images of how it continues on. What I'll do, I'm just going to pray and thank the Lord for this psalm, and then we can have some time of discussion too. Our Father, it's so important for us just to say thank you for how you are our great shepherd. Father, you're our shepherd too, and so is your son Jesus. We thank you that David knew this reality in his life. And even though he was a shepherd boy and became a king, and he became a shepherd of your people Israel, he always knew in his life that you are the great shepherd, and how we need you to shepherd us in our life. And we want to say you're such a good shepherd to us. You care for us so well. I know there's times we think you're not, but we got it wrong. You really do care for us. Thank you for your comfort, and thank you for the crowning of blessings in our life when we know deep down we don't deserve anything. And Father, thank you that in Jesus it's just like, oh yes and amen. He's the same. He just came into our world. And what a care he gave to his disciples, and how he comforted them and crowned them with blessings. And then not only his disciples, but us who have come to trust in him. And we say thank you, Father, for the good son that is yours, and what a good shepherd he is for us. And of course, in John 10, we see that incredible truth that Jesus gave his life for us. Our shepherd was willing to lay down his life, so that us sheep can be freed from sin and judgment. And Lord, even just reading Revelation 7, thank you that picture is there of you spreading your arms around us, and Jesus forever being our shepherd, leading us beside the still waters, and the living waters. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to appreciate who you are and how good you are to us. Help us to understand these things, because we so often get unsettled. So often the circumstances of life crowd in, and we lose our vision of you, and we even think you're against us and opposed to us and are out to punish us or whatever we think. Lord, please help us to trust in your word and to remember you never change. You're such a good God. And so we want to say thank you, Lord. And please would you minister to us all tonight. You know how we're going in life. I ask that you would touch our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.